Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. We got a live stream going to, we're going to dive into Tesla's Q3 earnings. The shareholder letter is going to come out probably in just a few minutes. Tesla stock has closed today at $865.80. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. Yeah. So I've got this crazy setup here. So I've got my phone here. This phone is going to be showing the stock ticker on the left side right here. And then I'm going to go ahead, I'll be switching to an iPad view. My iPad view will keep the stock ticker, and then it'll show kind of the Tesla IR website. You can go ahead and check it out here at ir.tesla.com. This is where the shareholder letter will drop. And then I've got another view here, which is my computer view. And I'm going to be looking at a Excel numbers spreadsheet here that will go through Tesla's Q3 numbers. So when the shareholder letter drops, please go ahead and in the comment section, just say, Dave, or something. It's out or something. And I'll go ahead and I'll switch to this iPad view. We'll go ahead and go through the shareholder letter. So in the meantime, as we wait for the shareholder letter to drop, I'll go ahead and review some of my Q3 estimates right here. And I want to go ahead and highlight a few kind of important numbers here. So we know the delivery numbers is 241,000, right? I'm calculating revenue to be about 12.3 billion. I think this is flexible, probably plus or minus 100 or $200 million. Regulatory credits, I'm doing 400 million. Some people are doing lower. I'm kind of, taking a bit of an average over the last year or so. Tesla did produce and deliver more cars, so that's beneficial. But regulatory credits long term are kind of trending down in terms of how profitable they are. All right, so we've got an auto gross profit of 3.5 billion. I'm kind of taking Tesla services and energy as negating each other. I think services will produce, close to break even, probably break even, because of the used car sales were super robust this quarter. And I think energy has a possibility of turning a profit too, but I'm just kind of being conservative here. In terms of total revenues, I have it at $14.1 billion. And total gross profit at $3.5 billion. Operating expenses. Okay, so here's where some of the tricky numbers come through. I'm pegging in at $1.7 billion. Now, we have about $60 million probably in Bitcoin impairment costs. So what that means is Bitcoin went down lower than the lowest price of Tesla's cost basis. And so Tesla has to book an impairment loss, a one-time loss for this quarter, about $60 million. This will show up in operating expenses. So that's why, I'm expecting a slight increase in operating expenses this quarter, plus the Bitcoin impairment. So I wouldn't be surprised if this operating expenses is a little bit even higher than 1.7. All right, income. So we have income from operations. This is what Tesla calls operating profit. And this is one of the numbers I'll highlight on the front page. We have $1.8 billion. Last quarter is 1.3. This was a big breakout last quarter, right? You had Tesla being like around 600 million operating profit, jumping to 1.3. This quarter, it should be a big jump to 1.8. $1 billion. Okay, so we're going to switch to the iPad view. Everyone's telling me it's out. So let's go ahead and take a look. The shareholder deck. The Tesla after hours price is up about $9 or $10. So I'm going to go through five things in this letter first. First, we're going to go ahead and look at this. We're going to look at this overview and highlights. So we have operating cash flow, $1.3 billion. Okay, let me go ahead and I've got this thing where I'm able to mark up. Okay, so we have operating cash flow of $1.3 billion. Okay, they repaid the debts of $1.5 billion. We were expecting that number, and then we have $164 million decrease in cash to 16.1. Okay, everything's fine with that, with cash. Profitability, $2 billion GAAP operating profit, operating income. So this is their operating profit number, right? So I said it was 1.8 billion. This is 2 billion. This is much higher than I expected, 200 million higher. $1.6 billion GAAP net income. I had it at 1.5, okay, right around. $2.1 billion non-GAAP income. So I had it at 2.1 billion In my numbers, I had a $2.1 billion non-GAAP, so it was right around my numbers. 30% gross margin higher than I expected. Okay. Record vehicle deliveries, and we started rolling out. Okay, so everything looks great so far with the brief numbers here. After hours is just up $5. Okay, the second thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through the financial numbers, and I'm going to actually plug in some of the numbers into my cheat sheet here. So we have here we have automotive revenue. So we're going to go ahead and plug it at 12.057. So we're going to plug in at 12.057. Regulatory credits was 279. Interesting. Okay. So yeah, regulatory credits was much lower than I expected. That's fine. We have auto gross profit of $3.67 billion. Okay. $3.673 billion. Okay. So that leads to auto gross margin of 30.5. This is what Tesla has. Okay. So let's go to total revenues, 3.757 here. And then you have total gross profit of 3.660. So let's go ahead and type in these numbers here. We have 13.757 billion. Then we have 3660. Okay. And the gap gross margin is 26.6. So everything looks great so far. We're going to go ahead and type in the operating expenses, 1.656, and then 2 billion for operating income. So this is fantastic, actually. So let's type in operating expenses of 1656, and then 2.004 billion, 14.6 operating margin. Okay, so everything checks up. If you look at this, we did all this stuff, and then we're going to go ahead and type in the remaining numbers in my spreadsheet. We have GAAP income of 1.168, and then we have non-GAAP of 2.093, and then we have adjusted EBITDA of 3.203. Okay, so guys, this is fantastic numbers here. I'm actually super impressed so far with my analysis. If you look at kind of what I estimated, everything checked up. It was a little bit lower revenues, auto revenues, but margin was super high, fantastic. Total revenues, 13.8 about, which is okay. Operating expenses was right in line with 1.7 that I was expecting. And income from operating profit was 2 billion. So this is great. GAAP was a little bit higher than I expected, and non-GAAP was right in line with what I expected. So my non-GAAP was on the dot, 1.88, and adjusted EBITDA was a little bit higher than my 3 billion in expectations. All right, if you look at aftermarket is down about $7. I'm not too concerned with aftermarket. It's just like another indicator, you know, of how people are processing things. Okay, I'm gonna go number three. My third point is I'm gonna go to Outlook now. So I'm gonna skip over here, and I'm going to go into Outlook, and I want to see what Tesla is guiding for. Okay, so volume. We plan to grow our manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible. 50% annual growth in vehicle deliveries. The growth will depend on our equipment capacity, operational efficiency, and the capacity and stability of our supply chain. Okay, so it's just vague, which is good. I like vague, actually. Cash. We have sufficient liquidity to fund our product roadmap, long-term capacity expansion plans, plus other expenses. Another vague thing. This is fine. Profit. We expect our operating margin will continue to grow over time, continuing to reach industry-leading levels with capacity expansion and localization plans underway. That's fine. Another vague guidance. And product. We continue to target our first Model Y production builds in Berlin and Austin at the end of the year. Okay, that's good news. We're still on track, right, for first builds. Does this mean deliveries? Maybe. The pace of the respective production ramps will be influenced by the successful introduction of many new product and manufacturing technologies in new locations, ongoing supply chain related challenges, and regional permitting. We are making progress on industrialization of Cybertruck, which is currently planned for Austin production subsequent to Model Y. So yeah, that's pushed out a bit. Okay, so far, Outlook is neutral, right? There's nothing really groundbreaking, nothing too negative, right? They're not saying, hey, you know, watch out for a huge like decrease in something. Okay, so number four point, we're gonna go ahead and I wanna go ahead and dive into a bit of the service and energy numbers and see how Tesla is reconciling this stuff. And so we're gonna go all the way to this financial summaries. Okay, so what I wanna do is I wanna look at the energy and services here. Okay, so we have services going up. This is, here's energy. So energy is 800 million and services is 894, right? So services dropped a little bit. Energy is almost the same in terms of revenue brought in, right? So let's also look at the cost of revenues. So energy cost of revenues is 800 million right here, 803. So energy broke even basically, right? There wasn't really sequential growth. It was just kind of flatlined with revenues and costs. Okay, so services, revenues dropped a bit and the cost of revenue for services 910. So it kind of actually lowered a bit. So that's fine. And we see, yeah, so it's pretty much, you know, a break even thing between energy and services. Okay, so other than that, you know, I want to look at one more thing. This is the reconciliation of EBITDA. So this is my fifth kind of focus of what I'm looking for. And this is what I want to find out, right? I want to find out this adjusted EBITDA number and how they got that, right? What's the key thing? So if you look at here, we have interest expense was $126 million. That's for all their debt they carry. So you're taking their GAAP profits and then you're adding these items to get your EBITDA number, right? So you added interest back. A provision from income taxes was $223 million. So you add taxes. So EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So we go ahead and add depreciation and amortization, 761. It's higher because Tesla boosted the production numbers. They get to depreciate and amortize more of their factory. In some ways. And then you have stock-based compensation. So Tesla uses an adjusted EBITDA, which means that they actually add back their stock-based compensation, right, into this number. EBITDA usually doesn't do that, but adjusted, they're doing that, adding $475 million. So that's, EBITDA at $3.2 billion. And this is kind of like the key number for me, because if you think about it, at $3.2 billion, if you times this by four, you're pretty much at a $12.8 billion EBITDA run rate this quarter, right? But this is just this quarter, right? Meaning over the next four quarters, you're likely gonna see the EBITDA like numbers go up. So yeah, even at $13 billion, give it, you know, even a 60 multiple off of this, you know, that's like $720 billion market cap. If you do a 60 multiple off of the projected four quarters, you're gonna see EBITDA at an annual run rate of probably, you know, close to maybe $15, $16 billion, right? And you can get probably a stock price between $900 billion and $1 trillion market cap just by doing a 60 time multiple. All right, so this is cool stuff. I don't see any red flags here for Tesla with the key numbers. Aftermarket is down still about $9. That's fine. As they process, people process, you know, there was high expectations coming into this quarter. All right. So what I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap up by going through the specific parts of this shareholder letter. Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let me see if I'm in the right thing here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and read through kind of the major parts of the shareholder letter, and then I'll just give some comments and try to see if we can pull out anything more from this letter that we don't know already. Okay. So we have a summary here. So the third quarter, let me just make sure that everything is okay here. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. So in the third quarter, we was a record quarter in many respects. We achieved our best net income, operating profit, and gross profit. Additionally, we reached an operating margin of 14.6%. Now, this is crazy, right? The last operating margin was 11% last quarter, and Tesla's mid-teens already. And they're expecting this, right, to continue to improve. All right. So this is one of them. Yeah. The important points is that Tesla actually like has delivered on this profitability story that very few people expected. More impressively, this level of profitability was achieved while our ASP decreased by 6% year over year in Q3 due to continued mix shift toward lower priced vehicles. Our operating margin reached an all-time high as we continue to reduce costs at a higher rate than declines in ASP. Right, operating leverage, it costs less to make a car because they're producing more cars and their operating expenses aren't increasing as fast as right they're able to grow their revenues. EV demand continues to go through a structural shift. We believe that more vehicles we have on the road, the more Tesla owners are able to spread the word about the benefits of EV. While Fremont factory produced more cars in the last 12 months than any other year, we believe there's room for continued improvement. Additionally, we continue to ramp Gigafactory Shanghai and build new capacity in Texas and Berlin. Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. Fremont, Shanghai, Texas, and Berlin. A variety of challenges, including semiconductor shortages, congestion at ports, and rolling blackouts, have been impacting our ability to keep factories running at full speed. We believe our supply chain, engineering, and production teams have been dealing with these global challenges with ingenuity, agility, and flexibility that's unparalleled in the automotive industry. We would like to thank everyone who helps advance this mission. Okay, look, sounds good. We went over kind of the main things of Tesla's financial summary here. Everything looks great. I don't see any red flags. It was pretty much all in line with my expectations. In terms of financial summary here, so we have Tesla growing revenue 57% year over year, primarily achieved through growth in vehicle deliveries, as well as growth in other parts of the business. At the same time, vehicle ASP declined 6% year over year as Model S and X mix reduced year over year in Q3 due to product updates and lower ASP vehicles became a larger percent of the mix. So yeah, revenues grew, ASP shrunk 6%. That's the point of it. Profitability, our operating income improved to $2 billion. Now think about this for a second. Tesla, I mean, this is operating income. It's before interest and taxes, but still $2 billion, right? I mean, this is immense for a quarter. This isn't even a year, right? This is just for a single quarter. Operating income over annualized is $8 billion, which is crazy. This is 14.6% operating margin, right? This is like unheard of in the auto industry for a mass market automaker to achieve this. So this is Tesla redefining, right, how profitable, right, a car company or Tesla as a software and tech company can be. This profit level was reached while incurring SBC, stock-based compensation expense, attributable to the 2018 CEO award of $190 million in Q3, primarily driven by a new operational milestone becoming probable. So this is, if you pull out the Elon CEO compensation kind of milestone that they achieved in Q3, that's $190 million. So actually, the operating income could have been a lot higher than that, actually. Operating income increased substantially year over year, mainly due to a vehicle volume growth and cost reduction. Positive impacts were partially offset by ASP decline, growth in operating expenses, lower regulatory credit revenue. I'd like Tesla to explain a little bit more how we can think about ZEV credits, regulatory credits going forward. Are they going to decrease, right? We'll see. Additional supply chain costs, Bitcoin-related impairment of $51 million and other items. So yes, we have this impairment for Bitcoin, $51 million that happened this quarter that we won't get in Q4. Another good kind of point. All right, on cash, quarter end cash and cash equivalents decreased to $16.1 billion in Q3, driven mainly by net debt and finance lease repayments of $1.5 billion. So yeah, Tesla repaid $1.5 billion in net in debt. So they're actually like reducing right the debt on hand, and they're getting like a lot of cash from their operations to be able to do that. Our total debt, excluding vehicle and energy product financing, has fallen to just $2 billion at the end of Q3. So if Tesla can get a better credit rating, right, that would be awesome, especially because they have such low debt, debt to cash ratio. All right, we have an operational summary here. So what happened in Q3? Basically, you saw a big jump in vehicles produced, 237. You saw a big jump in vehicles delivered, 241,391. So actually, this is the exact number. I'm using kind of, oops, I'm using this 241300, but Tesla delivered a bit more. So I'm going to update my spreadsheet 391. Okay, sounds good. And you go back. And then we have total end quarter operating lease vehicle count 100,000, solar deployed 83 megawatts, storage deployed 1,295 megawatt hours, service 630 locations, mobile fleet 1,190, supercharger stations 3,200. So you see a decent increase. And supercharger connections are increasing. So yeah, everything looks great. Operational wise, I don't see any red flags here. This report is looking great. So far, let's go to vehicle capacity here. So in Q3, we saw a continuation of global supply chain, transportation, and other manufacturing challenges. We continue to run our production lines as close to full capacity as condition law allows. While sequential growth remains our goal, the magnitude of growth will be determined largely by outside factors. Yeah, there's stuff like you can't control, right? Ports and, different suppliers just having some crazy things happening, chip shortages, et cetera. So in the US, our Fremont factory produced 430,000 vehicles over the last four quarters, and we believe there's room for continued improvement. Model S production continued to ramp successfully in Q3. Model X production ramp and first deliveries have begun. Yeah, we saw that on Twitter and elsewhere. Gigafactory Texas is progressing as planned. We are in the process of commissioning equipment and fabricating our first pre-production vehicles. Okay, Texas is good. Shanghai, first of all, for all of Q3, China remained our main export hub. Production has ramped well in China, and we are driving improvements to increase the production rate further. For standard range vehicles, we are shifting to lithium iron phosphate battery chemistry globally. Yeah, for standard range. For Europe, in Berlin, factory build-out remains on track with testing of equipment well underway. We expect to receive final permit approval before the end of the year. This is crazy that Tesla has built this whole factory, right? With some of the permits being up in the air, but this is the way, the Elon way. All right, installed capacity here. So we have California has 100,000 Model S and X capacity, 500,000 Model 3 and Y capacity. Shanghai has 450,000 Model 3 and Y. And we're waiting for Berlin and Texas. And then here's a market share of Tesla vehicles by region. You have US, Canada, and China. And market share is increasing over time, higher. Okay, core technology update. So autopilot and full self-driving. In Q3, you hosted AI Day, our recruiting vision to attract the best talent after presenting our end-to-end vision of full autonomy, fleet data collection, labeling, simulation, neural net training, vehicle processing, et cetera, as well as our next generation neural net training chip, humanoid project, robot project. We have received an overwhelming number of applications. In October, we started to expand our FSD City Streets beta to more drivers based on demonstrated driver safety and attentiveness measured through their safety score. We continue to monitor the fleet data closely to help facilitate a smooth rollout. Yeah, so I mean, the big news on full self-driving is just the whole, news that Biden is appointing Missy Cummings, a vocal, very a vocal opponent, or I would say a critical voice against Tesla and Tesla's FSD project. And there's a lot behind the scenes. It's a bit disappointing for me, but yeah, hopefully we'll get some better updates. Vehicle software. We released a refreshed mobile update in Q3. Yep, different UI there. Streamlines the user experience, enables phone key for multiple vehicles simultaneously, allows command to be sent to vehicle immediately upon opening the app, and integrates the purchase of upgrades, subscriptions, and accessories. In addition, we added Disney Plus streaming video service, the Skyforce Reloaded scrolling arcade shooter game, car wash mode, and number of improvements of cold weather performance. All right, battery and powertrain. So the 4680 in-house cell project continues to progress. We are producing an increasing number of battery packs for testing purposes, and so far the tests meet our current expectations. Well, that's actually good news, right? Current expectations. It means they're not too far behind. There's not too many hiccups. This is actually good news here. Front and rear body castings, both needed for our structural battery pack, are being produced at Gigafactory Texas. Okay. Interesting. Why don't they mention Berlin right now? It seems like maybe Texas might be slightly ahead, perhaps of Berlin. We'll see. Okay, here we have millions of miles driven between collisions. This is autopilot here. We have no autopilot, and then US safety. So autopilot is safer generally. And then we have a bunch of screenshots for the new app here. Yeah, everything looking good so far. Okay, so let's go to other highlights. Energy storage. Energy storage deployments increased by 71% year over year in Q3, mainly driven by strong Megapack deployments. We recently announced our new Megapack factory with a capacity of 40 gigawatt hours, which compares to total Megapack deployment of 3 gigawatt hour in the last 12 months. We are very excited about the broader potential of this product. Okay, energy storage is fine. Solar retrofit and roof. Solar deployments were 83 megawatt in Q3, increasing by 46%. Decent, with cash loan purchases accounting for nearly all solar deployments. Solar roof deployments more than doubled year over year and continued to grow sequentially in Q3. We are making further cost improvements, particularly on the installation side, in order to increase the profitability of our energy division. Yeah, solar roof, you know, this is a super challenging project. I've been saying this for a while. It's like immensely technically difficult. I'm not expecting like this huge, you know, ramp or turnaround in the next quarter or two, right? Services and other insurance. So in Q3, we rolled out safety score functionality, which will also be used for telematics insurance products. So this is actually really exciting that Tesla could use kind of all this data from the car to adjust rates and actually to choose who they want to insure, right? We actively monitor braking, turning, tailgating, unsafe following, forward collision warnings, and forced autopilot disengagements in order to predict the probability of a collision. This system will continue to be fine-tuned as we receive more data. We also launched our telematics insurance product in our first state, Texas. Interesting. In early October, we believe our insurance premiums will be able to more accurately reflect chances of a collision, more than any other insurance product on the market. Additionally, we will proactively communicate to the user what driving adjustments need to be made to decrease probability of a collision. And I like the idea of giving people a chance to change, right? I don't like this thing of just like monitoring and then just dinging people, right? Give them a chance. People will adjust their driving to be better and to get a better insurance rate. All right, so we have total energy deployment in gigawatt hours. It's growing, Megapack only capacity being built. Okay, so I guess this is their Lathrop facility probably. We have services and other gross margin, which is trending to break even, which is good, right? Because Tesla has been running actually a negative services for quite a while. All right, everything looking good. Let's take a look at the stock price. Stock price after hours is $860. The market's kind of like confused probably with this. You know, like maybe people were expecting a ton. I was expecting a lot and actually it's met my expectations, this earnings. Tesla's becoming a lean, mean machine. And they're executing like crazy right now. I'm super impressed. Let's do some photos and charts. All right, so here we have the Giga Berlin County Fair. So we saw, you know, some footage online earlier with this. Gigafactory Texas, this is office space with the factory view. Okay, so it looks like we got some people working here, right? We have a hat and stuff, so nice. Good to see people are actually using Austin as office space. Gigafactory Texas, here's Model Y quality control. So yes, we've got a painted body in whites, right? This is good stuff, showing that production is imminent. Here's a Gigafactory Texas exterior. Yeah, it's crazy. We were just there a couple weeks ago and man, it's just like so busy trying to, you know, finish, you know, the construction of this factory. Elon says, in response to Sawyer Merritt's request or idea for a Giga party, that yeah, after major construction is finished, they'll do it. My guess is it'll take probably another few months or so. They'll probably actually just be starting initial production, right, as construction around the factory still continues. Right, this is Giga Factory Shanghai. We have R&D center in the foreground. Interesting, okay, so this might be the R&D center right here. Interesting. So it's up and running. Tesla is investing heavily in R&D, which basically means engineering and design. They're trying to, you know, do a domestic $25,000 Tesla for the Chinese market. And they really have, you know, ambitious plans, and this is proof, you know. They have a bunch of people working on it even right now. Gigafactory Shanghai, these are the giga presses right here. Yeah, this is one of the most efficient factories in the world. Yeah, Tesla has really done above and beyond. All right, key metrics. So vehicle deliveries are obviously trending up quarter over quarter. Free cash flow and operating cash flow are increasing. And then net income and adjusted EBITDA are increasing as well over time. This is all signs of, you know, Tesla showing operating leverage, becoming a more profitable company quarter over quarter as they grow their revenue, but their operating expenses don't grow as fast. All right, key metrics, trailing 12 months. You have, over the past 12 months, over 800,000 vehicles delivered. Over the past 12 months, it's more kind of evened out, and you see like almost $10 billion in operating cash flow and net income over the past 12 months, reaching almost approaching $10 billion. Wow. Great job. Or at least with EBITDA, right? $10 billion. Okay, let's go ahead and look at some financial statements here. We went over most of the statement of operations. Tesla puts most of the stuff in the summary. Some of the other stuff I already went through with the services and the energy. And then, we have a balance sheet. You have Tesla with $16 billion of cash. And this is after paying down $1.5 billion in debt, right? And this is, this is crazy. This is great. Tesla has, has become a much leaner company in terms of debt. And then you have cash flow. And we have, net cash used in investing. So they're investing heavily into CapEx, right? So we had a good cash flow of almost $3 billion that they could use, right? And they put $1.8 billion into CapEx, which is all their factories, right? Their Texas, Berlin, and Shanghai factories. And even Fremont is going to be expanding, right? There's a lot of room to invest. And then you have, paying down their debt, right, with almost $1.5 billion. And they're left with $16 billion. Okay, so, and then you have the reconciliation, GAAP to non-GAAP. We had adjusted EBITDA at $3.2 billion. And then finally, just the last kind of slide of just GAAP to non-GAAP. And that is the whole Tesla shareholder letter right there. Good stuff. So what are the main takeaways? Main takeaways are, number one, Tesla is really executing at a super high level. Like, you just don't see like negative surprises in this earnings report. You don't see like Tesla booking like kind of like, you know, surprise, you know, $200-300 million costs, or you don't see like, you know, things costing a ton more or them bringing in less money. Everything is just like pretty much as predicted if you worked out the numbers, right? And even better in a sense, where Tesla really just nailed the revenue, nailed, right, their margins, nailed, right, their operating expenses, and nailed their operating profit. And if you looked at, the key, I think, in this is all of this stuff is over time just actually getting better. And I think a lot of times people don't, and especially analysts and people who aren't following Tesla closely enough, they kind of like, everything's looked at with skepticism, which is, you know, fine, they have a right to do so. But this is just 2021. This is without Berlin. This is without Austin, right? That they're able to do these type of numbers. And once you have Berlin and once you have Austin, it's like, it's going to be crazy. I'll give you a quick sample of what people might be able to expect. I just wrote down, you know, just a simple Q1, Q2, and Q3, and Q4 of next year. And if, let's say Q3, let's go out 1 year hypothetically. If Tesla delivers 370,000 vehicles at about $21 billion in revenue, and if the operating expenses is $2.1 billion, they'll have a net income or operating profit of $3.45 billion. And you're looking at, non-GAAP of $3.4 billion. And it might even be higher because, you know, if Tesla's able to just continue to do what they're doing like they did in this quarter, it's amazing. And so I think overall, I'm super impressed. We've got a conference call coming up, and this might be the first conference call that Elon Musk isn't attending, right, for Tesla. So we're going to see what are the dynamics, who's going to step up. My guess is Zach Kirkhorn, the CFO, will be answering a ton of questions. Drew Baglino will probably be answering a lot of product questions as well. It's going to be fascinating to see how the leadership is adjusting to this new role. And yeah, in terms of stock price, I'm actually not concerned at all. After a report like this, I'm kind of like, hey, you know, whether, and this is my personal opinion, whether Tesla goes up 100 or down 100 in the next month or two, like think about it. At end of Q2, I was just watching my kind of Q2 earnings kind of live stream, and the stock was at like 670 or something. You know, it's under 700. And, you know, Tesla had a blowout quarter and the stock was just like, you know, moving a little bit. But fast forward 3 months later, here the stock is in the 800s. And it doesn't really, you know, concern me what the stock does in the next week or two. I mean, investors and people will have their own decisions to make, whether they buy or sell and, you know, all that stuff. But looking long term over the next 4 or 5 quarters, as Tesla, Austin and Berlin ramp, like this stuff is just good. As long as they don't hit too many snags, right? As long as they don't hit some like crazy thing that just stops production, right? We don't want to see Austin or Berlin just being stopped with zero cars for like 6 months or 9 months straight. Like that would not be good, right? There are operational risks with Tesla. But if Tesla can do what they've been doing and execute at a super high level like they have been doing, then like, yeah, we've got some really fun quarters ahead. I'm kind of enjoying this stuff, right? Like I'm kind of like an old timer in a Tesla shareholder world. I'm kind of used to the rough spots. And it's kind of like you're sailing and you're used to all of the crazy waves and just like being like, you know, tossed about. And I'm kind of enjoying the calmer waters here. You know, it's just kind of chilling and enjoying the ocean a bit, relaxing, fishing and stuff. I mean, this is what it feels like for me as a shareholder right now. Anyways, what I'll do is I'll go ahead. The earnings call is going to go I'll show you the website here. It's going to be ir.tesla.com. You can go ahead and listen to the webcast right here. You could just go here. And they also have it on YouTube. They stream the call. After the call, I'll go ahead and I will share the top maybe 5 or 10 highlights from the conference call that I think are the most noteworthy. And what I mean by noteworthy is kind of like they give us insights in terms of the direction of Tesla. They help us understand the company more fundamentally, clearer and on a just a deeper basis, right? That's what I'm looking for these earnings calls. All right. Anyways, hope everyone has been enjoying this call or actually this earnings letter. I mean, it's not about me. It's like looking at, you know, what Tesla's done. I just want to congratulate every Tesla employee, leadership, Elon, all Tesla shareholders. This is a fantastic, fantastic quarter. One of the best quarters. I mean, this is just great. Every quarter just feels like Tesla is just really upping their game. And super happy with everything going on. All right, guys, take care. Go ahead, like and subscribe, and we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.